This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, thanks for being here. Melanie Primer, Executive Director of Battered Persons Advocacy. Who'd you bring with you today?
This is our board member, Celeste, but Celeste is not just a board member. She is also dancing in our BPA dance competition this year.
So, Celeste, how long have you been a board member?
I've been a board member since November.
And how did you get roped into that?
Well, Battered Persons Advocacy has always been an agency that I really respected. Coming to this community, they were one of the first agencies that I interacted with professionally, and I admire their holistic, person-centered, trauma-informed, and equitable approach to helping survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking really heal and find personal resilience.
So we're going to talk more with Celeste in a bit here, but Melanie, first, you've got this big gala coming up on the 22nd at Seven Feathers. Talk more about that.
Yeah, so this is our ninth annual gala at Seven Feathers Casino and the Convention Center. We have 46 dancers that come together. They're recruited in October and start practices in November. So they've been practicing five routines of different genres, which they'll compete on the 22nd. And we also have a premiere night the week before in which they'll be able to showcase the performances that they've been practicing for several months.
So this seems like it takes a lot of work.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just asked that question. And from a dancer's perspective, I danced a couple of years ago. I did hip hop and practices, you know, a couple of hours a week. And the way I see it is I need to work out anyway. So I'm committing to working out and fundraising for a great cause.
So, Celeste, is this the first time you've been a dancer at this?
This is my second year.
And how do have you danced otherwise?
Not really. Last year was sort of my first dive into performance dancing.
So what genre are you doing this year?
Salsa.
And so what do you have, like about a 4 or 5 minute song, something like that? How's it work?
I think it's, yeah, about 3 minutes.
And so you've been practicing, like, how far back?
We started in November, and practices are once a week, and we kind of start to increase practices based on availability if members want to get some more practice in before the big day.
Melanie, I was looking at the website a few days ago, and you've got a lot of different genres, but now all these people that are dancing, I mean, both of you have said this is kind of a new thing. How do you get somebody to be a dancer and get them to help to be a really good dancer on stage?
Yeah, so every year, I would say about half of the people who commit to dancing have danced with us previously, and the other half are new dancers. So the new dancers really reach out to us. We don't really do a lot of recruitment. People come to our events and check us out, and I think are really inspired to give back to their community and also learn a routine. And so I think we've talked about this before, that you don't need any dance experience because we have these coaches that teach you this entire routine that are either, you know, 2.5 to 4 minutes long. And I just think that people want to give back, and it's been really great to see new faces join us as they come to our events. Last year, we had 400 people at UCC come watch us on premiere night and 500 people at Seven Feathers at the gala.
So talk about your goal for this event. I mean, it's a fundraiser. It's $75 tickets. You got a big, big fancy evening. What are you trying to do with the funds you raise?
Yeah, so the funds that we raise support vital services in our community, everything from legal advocacy services, emergency services, some of our shelter program, and some of our other programs that we do in the community. Like at UCC, we have an advocate on campus, and we have advocates in healthcare settings and at Department of Human Services. But specifically at the event, we do a paddle raise where we ask people to get a number And give a number. So you can donate during our stand-up events and raise your paddle. And money that we raise during that time will go towards our housing program. So we currently own 5 apartments that are specifically for people who have experienced domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, or human trafficking. And it's a way in which they can establish safety and independence in their community. And we're looking at purchasing a 6th apartment so that we can help more people transition from homelessness into permanent housing.
So would this just be an apartment for housing, or would you do other things with it too?
Yeah, we're also purchasing, part of the building will be a training and education center. So Celeste and I have worked together on some trainings, and we train advocates, which are either paid staff, but we also have a lot of volunteer advocates that come help us at the courthouse or in the office or answering the crisis line. And we have lots of other things. But we also do community training. We train community partners on how to maybe identify family violence and respond to family violence. But the exciting part is that we would have also a space for survivors to come together to do support groups and other programs like the Rentwell program that's hosted by UCAN.
So would this be like a newly built facility or remodeled, or do you know yet?
We've actually identified a building that will be able to accommodate both of these needs that we have. And I think we're just going to make it our own space. So we don't need to build something new.
So talk about the connection between domestic violence and homelessness.
Yeah, so many people whom experience domestic violence or family violence, one of the barriers to actually leaving an unhealthy relationship is, of course, housing. And that may come down to, you know, finances. But about 24% of the people that we serve, so we serve about 1,200 people a year, are homeless due to family violence, which is one of the reasons why our agency 40 years ago started a shelter. But we're looking at helping prevent homelessness by keeping people even in their homes, as well as providing more long-term stable housing.
Is it, and I mean, every situation is different, but is it more common that the victim in a relationship that has domestic violence is also maybe more likely the person who makes the least amount of money between the two?
Yeah, especially when there's a power and control dynamic in the relationship where the person who has the power is controlling either the money, but we commonly see whom we call abusers actually controlling a person's life to the point where they cannot get employment, that they're monitored every minute of the day. We've even worked with people who not only do not have control over the finances or able to seek income, but they're even denied things like basic needs, including food.
Wow.
And safety.
Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to get out of one of those situations, you really want to get out. Maybe you got kids you want to get out with you, but you have nowhere to turn. That's where the whole housing component comes into this.
Yeah, so we would like to be able to provide people with more options. And so sometimes there is this really, really urgent need, maybe a high level of danger in a situation where someone needs to leave very quickly, sometimes in the middle of the night, so that they could come into our shelter so that we can then help them find housing while they do a temporary stay with us. But we also work with people longer term and help them build up a plan for independence and safety, maybe over a couple of weeks, even a couple of months.
And sometimes would that also involve maybe even some career guidance, helping somebody to get into a better paying job so they're better able to support themselves at some point?
Yeah, that has been one of the goals. Of course, the people that we serve, they determine what their goals are and we help them achieve that. So for some people, it might even be working on developing a good rental history. Maybe they don't have rental history and that's a barrier to housing. Or it could be, like you said, finding employment that where you can earn a livable wage so that you can pay for housing.
More on Inside Douglas County when we come back, talking about battered persons advocacy. The interview, a podcast after what, at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. On tomorrow's program, Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District will talk about what we announced today, the moving forward of a bond campaign to raise funds for a new school in that district and a number of other items as well. That conversation on tomorrow's program. Melanie Premer, Executive Director of Battered Persons Advocacy, and Celeste Huffaker, board member and dancer. Celeste, I wanted to ask you about a little bit more about what motivated you to get involved as a board member.
Yeah, so as I said, the BPA was one of the first agencies that I really interfaced with when I came to Douglas County as a school social worker at Phoenix Charter School. And I was consistently impressed with the way that they responded and was a reliable and effective resource for students and families that were struggling with issues of sexual assault and domestic violence. And it's definitely an area of passion for me. And I think that Battered Persons Advocacy really is a leader in the county of implementing trauma-informed practices and diversity, equity, and inclusion work. And I appreciate that they approach from a holistic standpoint and knowing how deeply impactful sexual assault, domestic violence, human trafficking, and stalking, how it impacts the entire person and really every aspect of their life. And Battered Persons Advocacy takes that into account and works with a person from where they're at, where they want to go, and really helping them to heal from what they've experienced.
So is being a board member of an organization, is that a new thing for you?
It is, yes.
And did you go looking for this or did Melanie come looking for you?
Melanie came looking for me a little bit, but as I said, we have done a lot of work together since I've been here, and I've always really respected Battered Persons Advocacy and wanted to be involved in any way that I can.
And we talked about you also being a dancer at the gala before. How easy was it to jump into doing that?
Well, you know, the coaches honestly make it really easy. They are so patient. They are a lot of fun. And they remind us all the time that, yes, this is a competition, but this is fun. And it's fundraising for a great cause. So it makes it feel much less effortful.
So, Melanie, you've got the big gala a night, but you've also got the premiere night. So you've essentially got two fundraising vehicles, if you will. Talk about how the premiere night works.
Yeah, so the great thing about this event is when we started 9 years ago, we decided that we needed to do a public sort of rehearsal, like a dress rehearsal. And it was really about the dancers and getting the jitters out and looking at where we might have costume malfunctions, you know, all those things. And we had such a this amazing response to the community coming to this dress rehearsal that we grew out of all of these venues that we were hosting at. Mainly in elementary schools. So UCC has been a great sponsor, and we moved it to Jacoby Auditorium. And so it has become its own event now where we do a preview. So before the preview night now, we do our whole entire rehearsal, and then we come out and perform for 400 to 500 people at UCC.
So, and that evening is basically just that performance, just the event. I mean, you don't have the other components that you have at the gala, right?
Yeah. And the nice thing about the premiere night is it's for family members who might not be able to make the event at Seven Feathers. I know that Seven Feathers is a big party, and some people, like myself, go to bed early. And so it's a nice event where it's chill and you get to see everybody perform. And of course, you know, it's great to bring your preteens and teens, come check out the performance and learn more about what Battered Persons Advocacy does and start conversations within your family about who we are.
So that premiere night on Sunday, February 16th, begins at 5. How late does that normally run?
Usually runs just for a couple of hours.
So, yeah, like you said, if you get kids or you like to just go to sleep earlier.
Yeah, it's definitely the event to come check us out. And, you know, at $10 to come watch us, it makes it really affordable for people to come watch. We have many people who follow us who come to both events.
Well, and I would imagine, too, that probably includes some of the friends and coworkers or some of the dancers.
Yeah. And, you know, some of us are busy and you may be out of town for the gala. And so this is an opportunity to come see us if you're out of town that weekend as well.
And I noticed on your notes that there's also an opportunity to maybe win tickets to the gala.
Yeah, so this is our, of course, our 2020 gala. So if you go to our website, which is www.peaceathome.com, you can click on the donate button. And if you donate $20.20, you'll be entered to win two tickets to the gala at Seven Feathers.
And for buying tickets, where do they go on? Same website?
No, to buy tickets, you can actually go to our bpadancecompetition.com website. That event also lists all of our dancers and sponsors, and so I encourage you to go check that out because there's probably someone you know that's dancing.
And if you want to come to the premiere night, do you just get tickets there?
Yeah, you can just buy them at the door.
And so all of these things are all coming up, which means you're probably busy this month?
Yeah, we were busy dancing yesterday all day. It was a lot of fun.
So, Celeste, I wanted to ask you about something you mentioned earlier where you talked about BPA's approach being holistic. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, when someone is experiencing domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, or stalking, it really impacts every aspect of a person's life. Melanie mentioned employment and housing. It also impacts mental health and physical health. Relationships in your life and the ability to ask for help and also trust help. So their approach, I think, really helps people along in that process when they may not know where else to turn or who to trust, and when relationships are a big challenge, as well as physical health and mental health.
And Melanie, for people that are in these situations, I'm sure there's a huge reluctance sometimes to say anything to anybody because you're almost embarrassed, like it's maybe your fault or something, or partly your fault. And whether if you know a lot of people in a town, you maybe don't want them to know about this, or if you're newer, you don't really know anybody. Either way, it's probably hard to seek help.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that have even shared with me that they felt shame by asking for help. I think that there have been messages, in our culture that have really told survivors that they made the choice. They made the choice to stay. They made the choice not to leave. Of course, those messages are shifting as we're all learning more about how abuse works and also the impacts of trauma on people and how our brain development, the pathways in our brain changes too in response to those safety concerns. And so it's great to see this movement and the shift, but if people are making those statements, like, why are you choosing? I mean, you chose to be with that person, that those statements definitely reinforce that message of shame and it's your fault, so don't reach out.
Do you also see situations with clients where the whole stress of all of this ends up leading to things like opioid addiction and things like that, just trying to cope with the situation?
Yeah, well, addiction can, or at least the use and abuse of drugs and alcohol can certainly be a coping skill for people, like other habits, whether that's, overeating or just, self-soothing yourself during stress, then yeah, that's something that we certainly have helped several people with in maintaining some sobriety or reaching sobriety.
About 30 seconds left, so remind people again how much the tickets are and where to get them, et cetera.
Yeah, so if you want to see us February 22nd at Seven Feathers, you need to be 21 years or older, and tickets are $75 a person, and you can get those at bpadancecompetition.com, or you can check us out at premiere night Sunday, February 16th at 5 p.m., and you can get tickets at the door.
All right, Melanie Prummer and Celeste Huffaker, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.